How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
The latest in the president's crackdown on immigration. Donald Trump is threatening to withhold federal funding from sanctuary cities, including Chicago. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Sanctuary cities are jurisdictions that limit their cooperation with federal immigration authorities. Trump's executive order, signed last week, claims that the federal government will suspend or terminate appropriate funds for those cities. But is there legal precedent for this threat? And what's at stake for Chicago? To help us break it all down, we sat down with Mark Fleming, Associate Director of Litigation at the National Immigrant Justice Center. Mark started with what the Constitution actually says about sanctuary jurisdictions.
In this sort of scenario where the immigration laws in the United States is a federal regulatory program. It is a federal responsibility to enforce immigration laws. And anytime you have any sort of structure where it's a regulatory program by the federal government, under the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the state and local law enforcement or any other state or local government and officials cannot be forced, cannot be commandeered to enforce that federal regulatory program. Now, they can participate and they can choose how they want to participate in enforcing federal law of this sort, but they cannot be required to do that. Yeah. And that is the essence of quote-unquote sanctuary laws. It's really a set of laws that limit cooperation and participation in civil immigration enforcement. Mm-hmm. And I emphasize the civil part because as to any criminal matter, state and local law enforcement can and often will be involved, even if it is an immigration matter.
Right. And the confusion, a lot of the confusion lies in the fact that President Trump is spreading a very different message about the intent behind sanctuary cities. He took to Truth Social last month and declared, quote, "No more sanctuary cities. They protect the criminals, not the victims." What do you make of that statement?
Well, it's belied by the facts. And the facts are that for decades now, new people being placed into immigration proceedings through what's called a notice to appear, that less than 1% of individuals placed into removal proceedings was because of a criminal matter that was the basis of their charges of removal. And so for decades now, disproportionately, immigration enforcement has been people who have no or very limited interactions with the criminal justice system.
So it's worth repeating what you mentioned a moment ago to be crystal clear. Sanctuary jurisdictions don't prevent law enforcement from interfering in criminal cases.
That is correct. Full stop.
Full stop. We had Mayor Brandon Johnson on Reset last week answering some questions from myself as well as our listeners. Here's a little bit of what he had to say on why Chicago is a sanctuary city.
Let me just lift up the fact that being a welcoming city makes us safer, period, point blank. The first black corporate counsel in the history of Chicago, Mr. James Montgomery, he was the one that sent the note to Mayor Harold Washington saying that our local law enforcement, in order for them to keep trust with the community, we cannot have them dubbing as federal agents.
So, Mark, why do you think it's important to fight to keep this status here in Chicago?
I think, frankly, Mayor Johnson has it right, that disproportionately what we were seeing is when the local community fears local police, they're less likely to come forward when they're witnesses or victims of crime because they could get collaterally brought up and brought into the pipeline. And this included U.S. citizens who are in mixed status households. They were afraid to come forward Because they were afraid of what the repercussions could be for family members and other loved ones.
Like they felt their status wasn't going to be enough to protect them in this instance.
Correct. And to be clear, there's been studies by over the last two decades that have shown over and over that sanctuary policies make the community safer.
President Trump, this is not the first time he's attempted to strip federal funding for sanctuary cities. Back in his first term, that failed. Remind us what happened there.
So during the first Trump administration, very similar to this one, on day one, they issued an executive order stating that they were going to strip all federal funding for sanctuary jurisdictions if they did not cooperate with immigration enforcement. Very quickly, San Francisco sued and said, you can't strip all federal funds. That is unconstitutional in a variety of ways. One, that the only time you can condition federal funds is if the funds are germane to the issue that you're seeking compliance with. And so very quickly, they had to backtrack and say, no, we're not trying to strip all federal funding. It is only certain law enforcement grant funds.
I see.
Fast forward to today, San Francisco sued again. The same judge said, here we go again.
Yeah.
Last week in an order and again froze the executive order as to the stripping of all federal funding on the condition of immigration enforcement.
So is it safe to predict that it'll end up the way it did the first time around?
I think it's safe to assume that it will end up the same way in the to the extent that they are targeting funds that are unrelated to law enforcement, which is a very, much more limited pool of money,
right?
That it will end up the same way. What did happen the last time is the issue as to what is called burn JAGS funds was raised. The Trump administration tried to condition immigration enforcement on eligibility for those grants. In, I believe it was four courts of appeals, that was rejected, that under the current law, the Trump administration was not allowed to condition those funds. There was one circuit that ruled the other way, and so there is a split that presumably at some point this administration will try to exploit.
The Trump administration filed another lawsuit in Illinois in February for its status as a sanctuary city. Do you think that will succeed?
It will not, for two reasons. One, they tried it against the state of California during the first Trump administration and lost there.
Okay.
And then McHenry County here sued as to certain aspects of the Illinois law a couple of years ago that went all the way up to the Seventh Circuit, which is the circuit court that controls federal law in our area.
Yeah.
And it ruled against McHenry County. The arguments that the Trump administration are making today are identical to those that were in that prior lawsuit and identical to those that were brought before the Ninth Circuit. Mm. So we feel fairly confident that they will lose ultimately in that case.
So last Thursday, the Trump administration, Mark, they filed yet another lawsuit against Illinois. This time it was challenging amendments to the state's Right to Privacy in the Workplace Act. Any difference there?
It's a narrow provision.
Okay.
What it is addressing and what the legislature was trying to address is to provide some basic due process rights for immigrants who may be working or frankly, for all employees who are working for employers that have voluntarily agreed to be part of what's called E-Verify, which is an automated work authorization system that the Department of Homeland Security has set up. Again, it is voluntary, so not all employers are participating in that program.
Okay.
But to the extent that they are, what the state legislature has done is to try and establish some very basic due process rights for individuals who may get a non-compliance sort of response from that check, and also providing certain accountability measures to make sure that employers are using that system properly.
Yeah.
And so what the Trump administration has said is that frustrates what the purpose of E-Verify is by presumably providing due process and accountability. And are suing to try and strike down those provisions of the law.
So as that suit progresses, what should we look out for?
We should be looking out to see how the administration is describing that law and how does it match up against what the law actually says. Mm. Disproportionately, what we've seen in these lawsuits is a a not so accurate characterization of what the law does and does not
New definitions being created,
correct.
Almost. Last week, a federal judge ruled that the president's invocation of the Alien Enemies Act to deport Venezuelan nationals to El Salvador, that was unlawful. The Supreme Court also demanded that Trump facilitate the return of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who we've heard lots about in the news lately. Trump, though, isn't backing down. What precedent is that setting?
I mean, I think it's setting a precedent beyond immigration. Leave immigration to one side. This is the canary in the coal mine of the rule of law in the United States. If we cannot go to the courts in order to get basic due process and to get the executive branch to comply, we are in a very dark place within our system of government.
Are we in a constitutional crisis?
Certainly, I think we are headed towards that for sure. I think we're in a crisis of constitutional crisis almost obscures what the issue is, which is we're in a crisis of where suddenly we are no longer believing in the rule of law and that everyone is equal before the law. Mm-hmm. And so that is a very scary place to be in as far as our structure of government and what we expect of our government.
President Trump confused a lot of folks yesterday. People wondering what he means by some of his statements in a Meet the Press episode that aired. He stated that he, quote, doesn't know whether U.S. citizens and non-citizens both deserve due process as laid out in the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution, and that he's, quote, not a lawyer. Your thoughts?
I think these two issues are coming together because all that Mr. Abrego Garcia is asking for is due process.
Yeah.
That is all he's asking for. That he's not asking that he have the absolute right to stay in the United States. He's asking for due process. And by the way, he has a U.S. citizen spouse, has kids who have lost their father.
Mm-hmm.
And so this notion that he does not know if everybody in the United States is afforded due process from the federal government really quickly puts us away from a system of rule of law and basic fundamental democratic structures.
And I mentioned the Fifth Amendment there, so we're on the same page. Fill us in on what that states.
It states that anyone who is going to be charged with anything, whether it's civil or criminal, that they have an opportunity to be heard and to defend themselves.
So thinking of solutions, I mean, what can local politicians do here to ensure that due process for American residents, regardless of what their legal status is?
Well, I think we're starting to see local officials and state officials start to look at, you know, what can be done at a state level as far as El Salvador or you name it, what other country that is participating in these unconstitutional behaviors. I think they are certainly looking at what sort of measures can be taken at a state or local level to build pressure to do the right thing as to this gentleman, but frankly, all of the individuals who were sent there, because there was really mm-hmm. no evidence as far as been publicly provided as to their involvement in any gang, let alone that they had any due process and has been convicted of anything to be forced into a maximum security prison for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
It's
that's a
shocking.
Scary, shocking reality. How can the community stand up for our neighbors without legal status?
I think one is there is the Family Support Network hotline, 855-435-7693. Yes, it refers to family support, but it's also a vehicle by which people can report what they're seeing in their community to a group of volunteers and to organizations like ourselves to then investigate situations where there may be enforcement, there may be due process issues. So it's really a place where if you see something, to say something.
Mm-hmm. Any other resources you can point to at the National Immigrant Justice Center?
At the National Immigrant Justice Center, if you are an immigrant and uncertain about what your status is, you certainly can seek a legal consultation with us. And there's a phone number where you can set up an appointment, 312-660-1370. To see whether there are other options for you as far as immigration. The reality is a lot of immigrants have been here for decades, and they've never really explored it.
That's right.
And
Until now.
And so a lot of situations change over time, and you may be available for something that provides you greater protection or a family member greater protection.
We'll leave us with this. As we know, a lot of immigrants, even those with legal status, as you pointed out earlier, they're worried right now. They're very scared. They've changed a lot of their daily routines to avoid any sorts of interactions, if you will. What would you say to them?
I would say, as far as what we are seeing in the courts, that the Trump administration is targeting people with temporary statuses, so temporary protective status, deferred action, parole. We are not seeing attacks on individuals who are lawful permanent residents, who have a green card. We are not seeing people who maybe have asylum or U visa. We are not seeing them trying to strip that as of now.
You mean locally?
Locally. But also nationally. Except for in some very notable cases.
Yes.
There are some notable cases with respect to political protest, particularly around the issue of the Gaza war.
We'll leave it there. Mark Fleming's Associate Director of Litigation for the National Immigrant Justice Center. If you would like some more information on immigrant rights, you can find that on the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights website at icirr.org/FSN. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Ellie Gilbert Bear and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Micah Yason. Reset brings nuance to breaking news. To keep up with the latest stories, subscribe to the podcast or visit us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again this afternoon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.